30th, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. We have been covering the questions surrounding what could be the most prolific day in American political history, but yet seemingly the most suppressed story the media has ever ignored. We now realize the implications of a corrupted media have proven to be, in today's time, more dangerous than anything we have ever previously known. Over 500 so-called insurrectionists are being charged, many of them incarcerated, being held in solitary confinement, and according to insiders, being subjected to horrific treatment, possibly force inoculated, just in order to realize very basic human rights. It's disgusting. Dr. John McGreevy revealed the involvement of a high-ranking major general called William J. Walker, now the newly named Congressional Sergeant at Arms, promoted by Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And according to McGreevy, that was sort of a payment for Walker's promise to ignore President Donald J. Trump's request for military support on January 6th and for allegedly providing secure and encrypted communications to Pelosi's Gestapo-style private police force in order to pull off the greatest lie in American history, resulting in horrific, life-changing implications that have detrimentally changed our republic, maybe even more so than 9/11. When in our history has it been acceptable for United States citizens to be surveilled by the federal government, maliciously hunted and tracked down by intimidating armed federal agents, be subjected to paramilitary-style raids and taken into custody, charged with misdemeanors, but yet facing felony-level prison sentences? Well, the truth is surfacing, and the media continues to ignore it. They're silent. That's dangerous. Now, an exclusive was published late last night at Revolver.News. Darren Beatty penned an explosive and highly detailed bombshell that exposes one man who seems to have been escaping arrest and prosecution, but if what's published is accurate, is single-handedly responsible for leading the so-called violent insurrection. Why? Referencing the article published by Revolver, and I quote, "The Oath Keepers, we are told, are America's largest militia, the most prominent anti-government group in the United States, and the preeminent right-wing domestic extremist insider threat to the entire U.S. military. Elmer Stuart Rhodes III, a one-time Army paratrooper, disbarred Yale lawyer, constitutionalist, gun enthusiast, and far-right media star, founded the group called Oath Keepers in 2009. Since then, he has ridden cross-currents of American anger and strife that ran from scrubby western deserts to angry urban protests right into the Capitol Rotunda. The Justice Department argues that Stuart Rhodes both substantially organized and activated an imputed plan to use violence on January 6th in real time through a series of encrypted signal messages beginning at 1:38 p.m. as Trump concluded his rally speech on the National Mall and 62 minutes before Oath Keepers lieutenants allegedly formed a, quote, military stack to rush the Capitol doors. These facts alone, as alleged, are more than legally sufficient to secure an indictment of Stuart Rhodes. We'll walk you through the mountains of direct and circumstantial evidence built on top of these allegations, but readers must understand this. The only reason Stuart Rhodes is not in jail right now is because of a deliberate decision by the Justice Department to protect him. If January 6th was an insurrection, why protect the one man who more than any other individual referenced in the charging documents of the 530-plus open criminal cases comes closest to the media's ravenous description of a, quote, lead insurrectionist? Is it possible that the Oath Keepers, the most prominent anti-government group in the United States, has been run, in effect, by the United States government itself? And nobody has mentioned it until now. Why? Pete Santilli is a radio talk show host and investigative journalist who's not only been investigating corruption within the FBI and the DOJ, but spent 619 days in jail. He was incarcerated as a political prisoner as a result of this whole Stuart Rhodes revelation. He joins us now. Pete, thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be here. You know, most people that hear that I spent 619 days as a political prisoner, you know, leading up to this January 6th thing, I consider it a blessing in disguise, having been forged in the fire to see how the system operates. And of course, as you already know, we defeated them by exposing malicious prosecution, entrapment, using confidential human sources back in 2014. and 16. So when 2020, the January 6th event came, very, very well aware of exactly that same cabal and what they, how they operate and what they do. And it's unfortunate because obviously our nation's suffering from it.
So Revolver News, this story is really damning. I mean, it specifically makes the allegation that Stuart Rhodes could quite potentially be the most prolific confidential informant the United States government has ever had. I mean, this is like ISIS level event here. We're making the accusation, or Revolver is making the accusation, that this entity has actually not only been orchestrated, but also funded by the federal government and then portrayed to us as some sort of an insurgency or opposition to freedom.
It, the Revolver article, as soon as it dropped, I would consider that they hit some things, and I say spot on, but it's really the tip of the iceberg. I was tracking Stuart Rhodes even right after the election. I'm not going to tell you how, but we actually had him screenshotted in chat threads doing exactly what he was known to do back in 2014, 2016, is inspiring, speaking patriot speak, really not saying anything illegal, but provoking stuff. And this is back to November 7th was as early as I was able to track him. I was very concerned because it was the same repeated tactics. We know their sources and methods. I have FBI 302 reports indicating that he was a confidential human source back during the Bundy Ranch incident. And then here he was again in the threads. November 7th, President Trump hadn't even announced January 6th. So we were tracking Stuart Rhodes, his provocations, even before the December 19th announcement by President Trump that January 6th would take place. And I'll tell you what, the rhetoric that was put in those threads, some of the people, most of the people, if not all of them, have been indicted and incarcerated and held without due process for far less. Far less.
Well, so, this story from Revolver broke late last night. And, you know, I'm hoping that this thing gains the attention of specific Republicans who are willing to use their position of authority to investigate this. Because, I mean, this actually really blows the whole January 6th thing right open. Now, we have been talking about specific things involving the FBI, that they set this whole thing up. That is now being legitimized. And now actual information, documented information, is coming to light here that shows that this Stuart Rhodes was cooperating, probably being paid by the FBI. Now, it's no longer a conspiracy, as you said, that the U.S. government is protecting their source and methods by not indicting Mr. Rhodes for his involvement in the January 6th insurrection. Now, you have documented all of this stuff over the last 7 years. Let me just ask you this. Isn't it kind of investigator 101 that when somebody is not charged for inciting, when thousands of other people are charged and still sitting in jail, solitary confinement, force inoculated, not allowed to see their loved ones, not allowed to make phone calls unless they've received the jab, they've not been charged with anything. Those that have been charged with misdemeanors, but yet face decades in prison. Meanwhile, Stuart Rhodes, who was at the head of this whole thing, really actually incited it. I mean, we have the words here. He called for a Serbia-type reaction to this thing. That's incitement. I mean, that's right there in the wide open. Why can you speculate that he's not been charged? Why haven't they questioned him?
Well, and this is a fact. The Revolver article points out that they're protecting Rhodes. Obviously, to date, he's not been indicted and incarcerated and very, very well documented for doing, like I said, much more than some of the people who have been, even his own Oath Keepers. He was setting up QRFs. He was outlined and well documented in the threads as somebody that organized the events on January 6th, using methods also to have volunteer PSDs. Those are personal security details to infiltrate, for instance, to get close to people like Roger Stone. Roger Stone was fortunately, because we are friends, I was able to tip him off as to what I had documented from the Bundy Ranch trials. I said, be very, very careful when you get a bunch of volunteers like the Oath Keepers, because that's their method to get close to you. To listen to you 24/7. And in some cases, they put their pawns out there. They're sacrificial lambs. You could have somebody that faces 30 to 50 years, or they could cooperate by giving false witness. So we were well aware of exactly what the tactics, the sources, the methods. It's the same exact regime during the Obama administration that was basically doing the same things as to manufacturing January 6th.
Yeah,
sir,
I mean,
who do you go to? The FBI?
Right.
You go to the FBI to report such things?
They've been spying on people. I mean, they spied on, you know, the campaigning citizen, Donald J. Trump. They spied on President Donald J. Trump. They spied on Sean Hannity. Tucker Carlson is alleging that they're spying on him. This is how they infiltrate these groups. This has major implications. Now, you have had your finger on the pulse of this thing for a very long time. Nobody has a more comprehensive firsthand look at this than Pete Santilli. Correct. What implications do you think this has, and who are you specifically calling on to do something about this?
First of all, Nancy Pelosi stepping forth to bring a bipartisan January 6th commission, that was the first step in the attempts to cover up possibly even her own involvement. Well, I want to see her communications between her and the Capitol Police. So she's suspected in being involved in what happened on January 6th at minimum for having a lack of staffing. I was there. There was not enough police presence. All she had to do was to have a bunch of people standing shoulder to shoulder, and the peaceful protesters that went there would have never crossed those lines.
And I think it's really important that I mention here that, you know, Dr. John McGreevy was on this program, specifically mentioned that she was provided secure and encrypted in communications to set the whole thing up by then Major General William J. Walker, who has now been rewarded for that participation in this big lie by being named the Congressional Sergeant at Arms. Not only that, but he was also charged with the duty to disregard President Donald J. Trump's request for military presence there, which would have deaded this whole thing. So he is absolutely 100% complicit, and so is she, as proven by somebody with inside information. Pete, go ahead.
That's correct. There's plenty of evidence right now. And we also have, because I'm involved with the NCLU, John Pierce's group, because of my experience in dealing with this type of infiltration of groups and entrapment by the FBI, they've already been found to have been maliciously prosecuting Americans, bringing the full force of the government upon them, entrapping them, withholding exculpatory evidence. Two trials we won as a result. But with the NCLU in these cases, here's the most important message that I can communicate to the powers that be, is that part of the method of covering up the evidence that should come forth at trial is to get these defendants who are being held against their will. They're not allowed to talk to their attorneys, and they've got decades over their head, and they force plea agreements. And what that does is that prevents the information from coming out and getting to the jury. Now, based on my experience with the Bundy Ranch trials, that's exactly what exposed the truth about this regime and their unlawful conduct, is that 30 to 45 days prior to trial, there's something called Giglio material. And that's where you get where the government's required to reveal the confidential human sources. They're supposed to reveal exculpatory evidence. The powers that be must release these prisoners, allow them to prepare for trial, and allow the Giglio and the Brady material to come forth, because that's how the FBI got caught at Bundy Ranch, and that's how they'll get caught. As we've already seen through, we've got special forces operators that were approached well in advance of January 6th. We've got potentially whistleblowers as well within the federal government that would be willing, that they're of high integrity. They may be a federal agent, but they're aware of some unlawful conduct within the agency. That will come out in trial. We need the help of the insiders. We need the help of the federal judiciary, but we need fairness for these defendants right now that are basically, as part of the cover-up, they're trying to get them to plead out so that the truth never comes forward.
There are people with inside of the FBI that absolutely want to come forward. And I know that. The problem is that they fear for their lives. I mean, we have seen what this organization, this is a corrupt criminal Gestapo. This is the new age Nazi brown shirts, or even worse, because they will participate in murder. They have done so. There is a documentary out regarding the January 6th where all four deaths are shown. I mean, it's gruesome and it's graphic footage. All four deaths are shown there. Nobody did anything about this. This was pre-planned and everybody knows about the FBI's complicity in this. Now, there are agents inside of there who do have a heart, who do have a soul, who want to come forward but are fearing to do so. Now, under the penalty of perjury and under the power of subpoena, they would have no choice but to come forward. They could shed any liability because they have been subpoenaed to do so, ordered by law to come forward, and they would no longer be confidential informants or whistleblowers, but they would be doing what is required of them by law. So I am suggesting that these Republicans, specifically Senator Cruz, Senator Rand Paul, use their office's authority to subpoena these people and get these agents from the FBI to come forward and tell the entire world what they know.
That's what broke the Bundy Ranch cases. And I want to remind everyone that you're absolutely correct that people do die. Ashley Babbitt, there were several people as well. Deplorables, we'll call them.
Do you believe that she was led to her death? I mean, she was there all by herself, Pete. And yeah. I think that a specific group of people noticed that she was there by herself and led her up those stairs, knowing what was going to happen to her. They led her to her death. Do you believe that?
I do, and I also have another person from 2016. His name is Robert Lavoie Finnicum, was led to an ambush. Provocative rounds were fired into that ambush that was set up by an FBI informant that was paid upwards. His name was Mark McConnell in 2016 at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in southeastern Oregon. Robert Lavoie Finnicum was murdered, set into an ambush. It was totally unnecessary for them to do that. But guess who fired the provocative rounds? It was the FBI. An FBI agent, a member of the HRT team, his name was Astorina, actually went to trial. They fired the rounds and they actually covered it up. So they're not only well documented, but people have lost their lives at the hands of this very corrupt entity that is known as the FBI. We've seen it right out in front. People may have forgotten about 2016, but we haven't forgotten about what they did with the Russia collusion incident. So many incidents over the years, but most recently, the past 4 or 5 years, attempting to overthrow the president of the United States. And then obviously infiltrating and manufacturing January 6th. We have plenty of evidence. Sir, one super huge point of emphasis. Those that have the power in our legislature and Congress to give the protection of these federal agents that can come forth, that know what was happening behind the scenes. There are good men and women, rank and file door kickers, we'll call them. And as I said, they were the ones that came to the stand, told the truth. The Bundy Ranch cases broke because a senior special agent came forth from the Department of Interior. He was in charge of the cases and he exposed the truth about what happened. The judge, an Obama appointee, a Harry Reid appointee, had to dismiss the case as part of the cover-up. But here we are, same cabal, just a much bigger, escalated version of what happened during Bundy Ranch and the Malheur indictments.
Pete Santilli, what great insight, and thank you so much. You can find all of Pete Santilli's truth at petesantilli.mobi. That's M-O-B-I. Thank you so much, Pete. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for covering this very important story.
Of course. We're not going to let this go. We are not going to stop talking about this. Over 500 freedom-loving, liberty-embracing Americans are being held as political prisoners as a result of what we now know to be a blatant lie set up by and orchestrated by, implemented by the federal government, law enforcement agencies at the top of our federal government. Insane, disgusting, a total travesty. I want to tell you something really important. It's the last day of the month, keystolife.shop. If you haven't heard about this stuff, this is the IGF-1. IGF-1 is a natural substance that's inside of your body. It helps promote a strong immune system. It helps promote weight loss. It promotes lean muscle gain. It makes men, men again. There are sleep aids available, really great products for women as well. Go to keystolife.shop. That's keys, the number 2, life.shop. Why is it so important that you go today? Well, today is the last day they are offering the buy one, get one free All right, listen, the most inexpensive product on the website, if you put that on auto ship, you get the most expensive, most effective product from keystolife.shop absolutely free. This isn't get one half off. This isn't maybe you get a discount. This is absolutely free. Today is the last day of that special. You have to get to keys2life.shop right now. Keys, the number two, life.shop. Weight loss, lean muscle gain, strong immune system. All of these things are so incredibly important, especially in times like today when they are trying to demasculinize or feminize our boys and men. We can fight back with keystolife.shop, making men men again. You remember the human growth hormone. IGF-1 plus is the substance that's naturally inside of your body that helps to make you a man. This stuff is very important. It's all natural, completely holistic. Get to keystolife.shop. If you are not well read on this, lots of information on that website. Get over to keys2life.shop right now. Get buy one, get one free. The most inexpensive product on the website. That's all you have to do is put that on auto ship. The most inexpensive product. You get any product, including the most expensive. There are no limitations. Absolutely free. Go to keystolife.shop right now. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to keys2life.shop. No matter where you tune in, no matter where you get your news, whether it's major broadcast networks, your favorite cable news host, an internet host like myself, we appreciate y'all being here, by the way. You will hear the words vaccine, jab, hoax, inoculation, mRNA, nanotechnology, all of these things you'll hear. Warning this, Guillain-Barré that, multiple sclerosis, pilots dying, all of these things are being discussed. Magnetism, that's another big one. But nobody is really putting a finger on the pulse of what this all means, why it's happening, and what is the end game. One guy claims to know, that is Cyrus A. Parsa. He is the founder and CEO at the AI organization, and he joins us now. I received a text from you the other night, Cyrus. You said, nobody is talking about this, so here we are.
Yeah, there's some misunderstandings on this vaccine, but there's some correct understandings on the future of it. So as you all probably remember, I warned and predicted that a bioweapon would come out of China, then it would cause chaos, launch a great reset, it would take Trump out, then it would enter the age of transhumanism, and you would merge with artificial intelligence and machines. And I also described the vaccines. I'm the first person who did it. Well, it's in my books, 2019, but I did videos in April and March of 2020. They describing how the vaccine works and also how it's what's going to do to your body, and how it's related to nanotech in the future, but also particles like nanolipids. So let's first explain why President Trump had to create this vaccine, because we shouldn't blame him. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take the vaccine or you should take the vaccine. I'm just going to say the facts. President Trump is a president of the entire country. He may be a Christian man. Half the people in this country may be of Judeo-Christian or Buddhist thought. Belief, and the other half may be just spiritual or atheist or communist or socialist. So as a president, he needs to focus and be a president for everybody. Because at some point it was verified to him that it was a bioweapon, he thinks, well, the left will never allow him to open up the country again, and the whole society will collapse. You lose your businesses. People can't go to school. The entire infrastructure falls down. And in order for him to get the left to stop attacking him, but also provide potentially a cure or therapeutic, he thinks he's going to support not just conservatives in terms of freeing the country, but give the left what they want. So he orders the creation of this vaccine, and it was done. And the thing is, there really is not a cure for this bioweapon, because what I said is that it's created by mixing humans and animals, and they were using artificial intelligence to compose it. This means it's not a virus in a sense. It sort of acts like it, but it's a mutating, replicating bioweapon. So it actually connects to your cells and your digital infrastructure like a software does. And it constantly mutates, not only in your body, but it's designed to actually mutate in real life exponentially to create thousands of different components of it. So initially, some people, when they got hit by this, they don't even feel it. It doesn't affect them. Some other people, they get hit by it, it's a stronger flu. And some people, they die. And what I said is that it's designed a way to go into the White House. I even said that a year and a half before it got hit, to the Secret Service, moving from one person to another invisibly to take out President Trump and the people around him to create chaos. It's in my Secret Service report, right? So then my second book describes it a little bit at the end. My first book, in the synopsis, the first sentence, the world's in danger. And then I ran this entire big lawsuit saying the world's in danger, bioweapons, AI, China, all these different kind of things. So we shouldn't blame President Trump, but this is a free country. If you don't want to take a vaccine, you shouldn't take it. Now for what is really inside this vaccine. So this actually comes from experimentations with the mRNA that we were doing the past 10, 15 years in the military, DARPA, CIA, and different labs around the country and the world, because they want to use nanotechnology to not only just make you live longer, but they want this nanotechnology to actually replicate it within your cells in your body to repair, let's say, if you got a wound or if you were sick. So in a sense, the transhuman thought of the liberal side, the scientists, is they want to make you live longer, repair you, or even live forever. So in a sense, it's they can use CRISPR technology as well. So I'm not against the left or against using certain things to extend your life. But however, when you merge your artificial intelligence into the future, because at the moment, this doesn't have nanotechnology in it. It has nanolipids, little particles that you can't even see. And what they do is, what it does is masking that if you have the virus, or replicates next to it and it follows like a digital pattern. So the virus mutates, it'll mutate next to it. But it's not a cure because there's going to be multiple other mutations coming. So in the future, what can it do? Oh, you need to upgrade. Here's another shot, a third dose. Here's a fourth dose. Then at some point, if this bioweapon, they're talking about Delta, right? What if in the future it becomes super deadly like it was in China? Because it didn't affect America. The survival rate was extremely high. But in China, because it's coded for certain races within the bioweapon, on certain mutations, it take out some people really, really fast. So in the future, at some point, if it mutates to a certain degree, they'll have, okay, well, in order to solve this mutation, we're going to put in your body an actual nanotechnology. This will always replicate and protect your good cells and so on and so on, and mask that your body is having this immune reaction. Because what's happening is, this is not a virus, it's a bioweapon. It attaches to different organs, like your lung in different areas, and it creates an immune response that your heart or your liver or your kidney or your lung is thinking it's being attacked. Once that happens, it overexerts itself to try to expel this invading system. Once it does that, it causes your system to go out of balance. You can have fevers. You can have chest pains. Then one of your organs can fail. I actually know exactly how it was designed, how it actually operates, and even how to get a real cure for it. I know how to do that. So now consider why I haven't been the person that's been all over news. Well, one thing, I sued the big tech and I put a big lawsuit and all these different kind of things. But the biggest trouble I've had since day one has been Q, the founder of the Q movement. I've never been against the guy, okay? But I'm gonna expose what he did, because every step I took. So you're a Christian. You have a sign on your Twitter that says you're a Christian, that you follow truth. But every step I took, I worked 20 hours a day, 7 days a week for an entire 2 years. His soldiers were saying, Cyrus, Q knows what you're doing. Trust the plan. So they stopped me from saying a bioweapon was coming, just as CNN did and the big tech did. Okay. Then they called me crazy when I brought this AI stuff in. Afterwards, they said it's a bioweapon. And they tried to create the Q movement behind it. They stole from me. Then I brought out the Great Reset to people who connect to Q. And then they silenced me and they stole from me. And then they put it, they gave it to big Q accounts, big West conservative accounts, stolen from me to make it popular worldwide. And then it would always pick somebody who say they follow Jesus or they love Jesus, they have blonde hair, to talk about who copied my transhumanism stuff by looking at it when I was on other shows that they had put us together, or they were looking at me because Q was looking at me the entire time. So they were stealing. I finally came out and said, you know, some Q people are stealing and even on shows. Then Q ordered some people to have me on a show to hear what I have to say. Then I'm like, you guys have been stealing from me. You need to give me credit because I know how to win this. They said, no, trust Q. I'll tell you who Q is in a minute. He is with God. And I said, no, he's been commanding his soldiers behind the scenes to steal from me and censor me. And then even so, I want to get on Mike Lindell. I think he's a great guy. I think he has balls of steel, but he's even connected to there. And people don't know he's Q. Not many people know he's Q. Even he connects to Steve Bannon, to Alex Jones. But people don't know that he is Q because his soldiers created PSYOP as a counter CIA movement. Q is a PSYOP, which the CIA or the military use on people when they drop pamphlets to alter their thinking to their side. Because the deep state was attacking Q and then Trump's people, meaning CNN with all their little PSYOPs, they created the PSYOP. But here's the thing. When you use Jesus' platform, when you say you're a man of God, and you censor someone like me the entire time, and you have your soldiers steal from me, and then I complain to you, and they, oh, just trust the plan, we're with God, blah, blah, blah. And later, January 6th happens because they didn't foresee that it was going to happen to them. So afterwards, when I said that this is not right, we shouldn't follow Q, blah, 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 all the channels that were having me on the show, they stopped because they were getting an order from Q. Now I'll tell you who Q is. I'm not against Q, and I don't think he can be arrested because he's not in the military currently. And he didn't create the PSYOP. His soldiers did, and he took the platform, and the entire time, his main soldiers were stealing from me and censoring me, and he gave orders. So they just had somebody in their Florida talk who was copying all my transhuman stuff. So I'll tell you this. What God despised the most? Thou shalt not steal. If you say you're a Christian, if you have the Jesus platform, whatever your reason is, if you steal your plagiarized censor, that will come back to you. So why weren't the Christians protected? Why didn't the conservatives, why did they outmaneuver it? Because when God sees that they're using their platform for their own benefit and for power, and this person is not good for President Trump, because anytime he got into President Trump's circle, the FBI would come after him because there was stuff, baggage in his back space. Think about it. If you're a general, you're told not to do business with other countries. It's an American. Why would you do business with Russia? I defended this guy. I did tweets saying he's a man of God. My friends with 30 years left me. All my friends said you're defending Christians. They all they're bad people. I said no. A lot of them are good people. It was my friends with Christians here in San Diego. But this guy is using a PSYOP with skulls from the underworld, from the Old Testament, not New Testament, and he's using frogs representing plague on their enemies. But what did Christ say? Love your enemy. You use images of angels, not skulls in the underworld. So this movement was created not by him, but he's been operating. He's been stealing from me the entire time and censoring me. So when God sees this, he curses the Christians, the good Christians who are not afraid to show their face and speak the truth. And this person is General Michael Flynn. He is Q. Since the first day, he's been Q.
Wow. Well, do you have any evidence to substantiate that claim?
100%. A lot of evidence. Everything I said is backed with evidence. And here's the thing. The FBI has figured this out, and they think Trump is involved. But Trump is not involved. Trump doesn't know General Flynn is Q. Trump doesn't know that. This is why his Twitter was deleted. Do you know why Trump's Twitter was deleted? Because they saw that he was retweeting a bunch of Q accounts as just as a ruse, right? And they figured out at some point that, that General Flynn is commanding these digital soldiers. So, and then a few accounts who were censoring me and stealing from me came out and said, look, it's Q and Alex Jones when they met. Because Alex knew a little bit too. He wasn't 100% sure. They were fighting each other. Alex Jones and General Flynn were fighting each other. And they're both stealing from me. So when they figured out that they were losing, they came together at the end and try to work things out. So here's the thing. When people like this care about power, God curses this country. God curses Christians. God curses the people of good. This is the truth. This is the truth. I swear to God, everything I said is the truth. You can look at my face. I'll do a lie detector test, whatever you want. I have all the evidence as well. I didn't want to say this, but here's the thing. How many times can you steal and censor and mess it up? And this is why the FBI, it's not about taxes. They want to arrest President Donald J. Trump because they think he was involved with Q. But he wasn't. He doesn't even know. His people didn't know. It was General Flynn running the PSYOP. That's the thing. And they can't arrest General Flynn because he didn't create it. It's just a social media for him. If you think about it, right? So in that sense, I'm not against General Flynn, but how many times it's like he has a nut that's screwed too tight in this part and too loose in that part. How many times can you lose? And then I go on my Instagram, I say, they got outmaneuvered. He watches me because he had me on his glory. He asked his glory to have me on 4 times and I was on. But every time they kept on stealing, as long as a person had blonde hair and blue eyes and said they were with Jesus, it's like they're not racist. I'm not saying they're racist. It's just their comfort zone, okay? But here's the thing. The people who let me in this country were Christians. So I respect Christians the most. You say you're a Christian, you tell the truth. And I didn't want to do this, but here's the thing. The FBI is going to come after President Trump if he continues to support General Flynn. That's it. And this Q movement, they're going to think they're working together, and they're not. President Trump has no idea and had no idea that General Flynn was operating this Q movement. But the FBI behind the scenes, they're looking for things to figure out so they can arrest General Flynn or get the military to court-martial and remove President Trump. So my advice is, first, give me the media attention that I deserve, because I didn't do this for money or fame. I did it to save as many lives as I could by providing information. And it's communism. General Flynn is a communist in some sense, because when you don't give recognition to the person who put out all their information and you go around the scenes to plagiarize by using other people, then you are acting in a communist way. And it brings a curse to the nation. It brings damnation to this nation. There's so much I could say. And then the Billy Graham guy, or whoever was Franklin, whatever, he said that Jesus would take the vax. What kind of pastor is that? Jesus would raise people from the dead, right? He would heal people by just looking at them or touching them. So why would he even vaccinate himself? It's ridiculous. That's blasphemy. So in these end times, as General Flynn thinks it is, because he wants to bring the rapture, if he becomes vice president, he will create a war. That's the thing. President Trump didn't want to do wars. He wanted to revive this country. He wanted to protect this country, to secure this country, to stop this deep state. But when you get egos and pride like this, because all General Flynn knew is Clinton's, Obama stuff, which is true. They attacked him, right? They used low-handed means in politics. But afterwards, I'm like, you guys don't know what's going on. China's releasing a bioweapon. Trust the plan, Cyrus. Who knows what you're doing? All his major soldiers, he was retweeting. They were following me and they were DMing me. And every juncture that I put out something to save President Trump's ass, they'd steal. From my bioweapon warning, from the Great Reset to transhumanism, and they package it somewhere else. So this is the truth. I swear to God.
Well, I have chills. I don't even know what to say. Why would you choose now on this program to do this? Just curiosity.
Because I saw what they did. Said, don't worry, General Flynn is God. We'll give you the credit afterwards. I don't want the credit. It's you using people that don't know what they're doing, and they're stealing, and God is punishing you. Secondly, because the FBI is coming after President Trump through General Flynn, and he doesn't understand it. That's a loophole that they have. So at this moment, in order for President Trump to be reinstated or come back into power, decouple from General Flynn, because General Flynn is the Q and he's been running the operations behind the scene. And that is not something that God supports. He supports upright, righteous people who don't do psyops with skulls in the underworld and frogs. And I have all the evidence. And the FBI has been, I haven't given this to anyone. I haven't even spoken to the FBI. But I'm in intel, right? I knew before anyone else knew. I never hit it back. But how many times can you use Jesus' platform to censor and steal? How many times can you do that and curse the country? If God supports a movement, then you will be successful. If he does not, then you will not be successful. It, you know, anyone who puts a cross on and says this, they can manipulate a lot of people, even with Q. Just like BLM. BLM can put BLM in a fist, and they get all the people mobilized behind it. It's the same principle. So I'm saying this because I know. I didn't say it before, I was wrong. I just put out codes for Trump. Hey, who are these guys, you know, stealing from me, the underworld and this, the day he got hit by the bioweapon. You know, they're stealing my transhumans and stuff, and they're putting on this girl who has blonde hair, which was just in the talk that they had. Because they and a few other people were just looking at my stuff. They didn't know anything about AI and transhumanism, a little bit about vaccines. And I said exactly how it works. I knew everything to the get-go. So I'm saying this because this is to save Trump's ass, because he will fail. General Flynn will fail again because he doesn't get support by God and use psyops. And do you think just because you say you're with God, do you think God will support you? Think about that. Just because you convince a lot of people, if you steal, lie, and cheat, then God will not support you. Why didn't a lot of people have me on the shows? Because behind the scenes, they were trying to get power. And even said, Alex Jones said, we should make General Flynn president. Why? Because deep down inside, he wants the power over Trump. He wants to become even president in the future. He wants to use his power. He is, you know, I don't agree with the left, all the attacking they did with him. But power and glory gets to a man. And vengeance. I support President Trump. This Q movement took the energy from his support away. So every time I'm looking at, why are they saying they follow Q instead of Trump? Oh, we follow Q plus two. No, but you're mentally been programmed to follow. So they took the heat away from Trump. And they, by having this movement, all the censorship started happening.
Cyrus, you know how this TV radio thing works. I got to get, I'm up against a hard break here. I'm blown away. Where are you going to publish the evidence that you say that you have?
I have a lot of evidence. But here's the thing.
These are serious allegations. You understand that? I mean, this is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have a lot of evidence.
You have to obviously disseminate that. You said that you have it. It's got to be somewhere. Yes. Where can people go to confirm that what you're saying here is truthful?
I can present evidence, but here's the thing. At this moment, President Trump needs to know this. If not, the FBI will move on them in different ways. So he needs to realize this. He didn't know, because he just listened to an advisor, go see a tweet. Hey, this is a nice tweet, Trump, and he'll tweet that. This is why he got his Twitter removed. Do you think Jack Dorsey had the power to do that? No, it's because of Q. That's why the president of the United States lost his because they thought he's connected with General Flynn, and they were going to do all kind of different stuff, because all this Q psyops underneath them were throwing out gospels about killing your enemy and this kind of stuff. Now, a lot of people had me on their shows for Q.
President Trump lost because the globalists stole the election, and they completely messed with algorithms, and they used satellites and other things and harvested ballots and phony ballots and things like that. But, I mean, am I wrong?
Yes, you're not wrong. But here's the thing. They have to have a certain excuse to be able to pull that. If they're stealing from you, they still can't act on your Twitter account unless they find a violation. So behind the scenes, Jack Dorsey and all these different kind of people talked to the intelligence community and said, we think General Flynn is running this Q operation, but also we think it represents President Trump. This is why behind the scenes, the FBI has even been investigating this NSA. Tucker Carlson, every conservative outlet that links to General Flynn, every conservative outlet that has communicated even the Epoch Times and other places, and NTTV and Fox News and OEN, Newsmax, every outlet that has contact with people who have promoted Q content, the intelligence community has tagged them as suspects of supporting terrorism. So here's the thing. If you never had the PSYOP, they would never have the excuse to delete all these accounts. And he didn't succeed because it's a PSYOP. This is what the Picts did back in the 800 AD.
Real quick, because they're going to cut me off here. I have to get to break. Yes. Where can people go to find some of the evidence that you're saying that you have? Where can they go?
I can start disseminating. Come to the AI organization website. Look at all the articles I put out. Look at all the videos I put out and interviews I did saying Q was stealing from me or QAnons, but I never wanted to expose them because I'm like, they're saying, well, we'll trust the plan, Cyrus. But he keeps on failing. He keeps on failing every single time.
All right. I got to get to break. Cyrus Parsa, the AI organization.
Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Telegram, Cyrus A. Parsa 1. Go to the AI organization website. I'm not against General Flynn. Okay, and he cannot be court-martialed for this, and he can't be arrested for it.
All right, they're cutting me off. I got to get going to break. Cyrus Parsa, follow him on Twitter. Atrocities that can be referred to as nothing other than crimes against humanity continue as this globalist cabal is determined to inoculate every global citizen, whether they like it or not. It's hard for me to really do this on a platform dedicated to honesty, integrity, and evidence-backed claims, but I now have to legitimately report that meat could be tainted with nanotechnology. Just as I did not ignore thousands of self-recorded videos on social media depicting hoax jab victims sticking magnets to themselves, ending up with serious, life-changing illnesses, diagnosed with permanent diseases that will forever change their lives or kill them, I cannot ignore people at the supermarket sticking magnets to their chicken, pork, and beef. Now, I cannot scientifically explain this phenomenon, but I can unequivocally say that the food that we purchase for consumption should not be magnetic. If anyone can explain this, I'd be more than happy to have you on the program. I'll wait now for the fact checkers to tell you that meat is not magnetic. The media will, of course, ignore it, and the evil will continue to be chalked up as Stu Peters, right-wing conspiracy theorist. Now, aside from the Satan worshippers, elitists striving for population control through genocide, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, big money recipients and major corporations jumping on board to haul in billions as you lose your loved ones, this program has reported on a complete violation of human rights taking place at one specific prison. Now, if it's happening in New Mexico, we can safely assume that it's happening across the entire country. The Stu Peters Show recently talked with an anonymous whistleblower who described the horrific reality of inmates having basic rights removed, visitation denied, subjected to solitary confinement if they refuse the hoax jab. Now that whistleblower is breaking anonymity and coming forward. Sean Ebright cannot sit back and watch this continue, at least not in good faith. And he says that this situation only becomes more and more grave as every day passes. Sean, thank you so much for your bravery. So although you've previously said that you don't necessarily have a bleeding heart for inmates, we cannot, as people, ignore what's happening inside of the New Mexico Corrections Department. Explain for our viewers, if you would, what you're witnessing firsthand.
Well, what I'm witnessing firsthand is, like I said in our interview before, we had inmates that are being, coerced into getting the jab. They're being, you know, they're being told that they can visit their families and everything if they get the jab. Now, on the previous episode, I did release a memo that concerned visitation. Well, one of the tactics being used, and, you know, of course, I'll protect the anonymity of the inmates, but, you know, one of the inmates was pulled out of line by the deputy warden and told, hey, how would you like to be able to visit your kids again and, you know, be able to hold your children and, you know, playing on that angle? And she says, you know, you'll need to get vaccinated and then you'll be able to have your visits and everything back. So this person goes in, gets the shot, you know, thinking everything's well and good. A couple days later, they released that memo that I leaked to you and, you know, found out that they were basically lied to. They're not going to be able to hold anybody. They're going to be sitting behind glass. And in the push to vaccinate everybody, there's been a couple of things that have happened to employees while this has been going on. We've had one of the nurses that worked there. She was our infection control nurse. She was going around as they were going and offering the inmates the vaccine. She was explaining to them that, you know, look, you have a choice. You don't have to take it if you don't want to take it. And, you know, she was basically answering the inmates' questions. Well, we had an inmate, you know, with a lot of questions. So she was sitting there answering this person's questions. And the inmate said, you know, no, I don't want to take it. And the nurse says, that's fine. So, you know, the officer working the unit gets on the radio and says, okay, we have this many that want to get a vaccine, this many that refused. And instantly the unit manager for that unit comes over there and, you know, pardon my language, but this is what goes down. She's yelling and screaming at this inmate, telling the inmate she's going to lose her inmate job. She's going to be moved to the quarantine unit, which, as we discussed before, is solitary confinement. And, you know, the nurse says, hey, don't let them bully you into getting this. It's your choice. If you want it, take it. If you don't want it, don't take it. And then the unit manager goes off and, you know, once again, pardon my language, you know what? Fuck this bitch. Get this bitch the fuck out of here. Take her, pull her fucking security clearance. I want her gone. And so that happened. They walked the nurse off grounds. There was some garbage that went on with that. Apparently, according to the nurse, the warden didn't know that this had happened. So the warden said, no, you can come back to work. And she wasn't allowed into the facility. It was still put on the facility pass down that this nurse wasn't allowed into work. So she basically lost her job for standing up for these people's right to have a choice. I also have another officer who he works in the infirmary, so he's around all the nurses and healthcare professionals. He was talking to one of the nurses, bringing up concerns that, you know, the side effects and stuff he's heard about, and some of the concerns about how the people are being coerced and forced into getting this vaccine. Well, somebody went and told the warden about his conversation. So they get him relieved from his post, pull him into the warden's office. The warden sits there, verbally berates him for a good 45 minutes, and he's not allowed to work his post in the infirmary now. So, you know, what we have is we have the inmates being forced into getting this vaccine, and we have employees that are being punished for speaking out about it, which is one of the reasons I'm blowing the whistle on a national media platform, so that the people can know about it, because pursuing anything within the department, it ends up with immediate retaliation. And, you know, there's not anything documented to back these people up. So they're just having to sit there and deal with it. And it's not fair.
Do you believe that you'll be retaliated against for being here?
Oh, wholeheartedly. I mean, it's in the culture of the New Mexico Corrections Department. It's, you know, it's sad, but, you know I'm protected by whistleblower laws and a lot of things, but no, it's coming. I mean, the department has never missed an opportunity to retaliate against somebody who speaks out.
Now, Governor Lujan Grisham obviously oversees the corrections department. She oversees everything in the state of New Mexico. Why do you think there's such a big push to have every single prisoner inoculated?
Well, I think it was part of her push because she's doing this big program she calls Vax to the Max. She wanted to get at least 60% of New Mexico residents vaccinated before she committed to reopening the state. Now, as of today, most restrictions have been removed from businesses, but, you know, I think this was part of the push to get the numbers up, and it would be very easy for her to tell her cabinet secretary, hey, get this done, because that's another, you know, 5,700 people she can add to her tally.
She has a captive, excuse the pun, she has a captive group of people that really have no choice at this point, solitary confinement or jab.
Right. And then on top of that, one of the biggest reasons, which I'm able to elaborate more now that I'm not anonymous, so some of my vocal inflections and stuff I don't have to worry about. One of the biggest reasons I'm bringing this up is some of the forced medical stuff that's going on right now. Back in 1980, PNM in Santa Fe, the old Maine, was the site of one of the deadliest prison riots in the history of the world. The deadliest prison riot in the history of the United States.
Right, yes, very well and documented.
A lot of things that went into that were, you know, forced medical care, denied medical care, putting people in solitary confinement for no reason, different human rights violations, some of the same things that we have going on now. And, you know, we have a population who they get most of their information from the legacy media. So they don't know about some of the side effects that are happening. They don't know about a lot of the stuff that, you know, has been being discovered. But, you know, the inmates at my facility, some of the ones I've talked to, I mean, they're pissed off. They've been lied to. They've been coerced. And, you know, they're unhappy about it. And, you know, for me, I have the I'm lucky enough that I work at a women's facility. So the chances for a high level of violence are a lot lower. But, you know, once the male facilities start getting agitated, this is something that can blow up and get out of hand really quick, especially with now, I think it was as of yesterday, they finally officially added the heart inflammation warning to the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. So, you know, eventually it's going to come out and, you know, these people are going to know exactly what they've been injected with, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to endanger the lives of corrections officers. It's going to endanger the lives of inmates, and it's going to be a danger to the public.
Have there been any specific negative adverse events that have taken place that have been chalked up as other things that you can speculate are as a result of these jabs being taking place at, you know, a fast pace?
I do know there are a couple of women at my facility who they were, you know, they were brave enough to tell me that they're starting to have some menstrual issues and other things after they got the vaccine, and they're scared. But as far as overall incidents, I don't know of anything major that's happened yet. But, you know, the information that we talk about here, the information that's been released on your show, I mean, it's slowly filtering its way out into the legacy media to where, you know, it's undeniable. And like I said, they ended up having to put the heart warning on the vaccines just within the last couple of days. And, you know, the more and more this stuff comes out, there's going to be more and more warnings attached. There's going to be more and more stuff that these guys see, and, you know, they're going to get scared. They're going to realize what they've been jabbed with and what the, you know, what could possibly happen.
One of the most basic human rights that we have is to be able to choose or refuse medical treatment. I mean, right. We should be able to read an insert or a leaflet, if you will, that explains the potential side effects. It's why when you watch commercials on television that are advertising a certain drug, the disclaimer is almost longer than the advertisement for the medicine or treatment itself. They're required by law to say these things. These inserts, these leaflets in these hoax injections are left intentionally blank. They are 100% blank. The only words on the piece of paper are this page left intentionally blank. Nobody really knows what's in it, but we do know what these adverse events are causing, as documented by Dr. Jane Ruby, who has 20 years of pharmaceutical research experience, has been on this program, who has personally ended trials when 6 beagle dogs died. As we know and have documented on this program, 25 people died during the swine flu vaccine trial, and we are up over 6,000 deaths that are documented. The Harvard study suggests that's less than 1%, so we're looking at 60,000. Why did you decide to break anonymity and come forward?
Well, I decided to break anonymity and come forward, one, to lend credibility to the story so people out there know what's going on. Two, I can speak a little bit more freely without having to worry about my voice being disguised and everything. And, you know, for three, the previous interview, I did read some of the comments and everything else. And, you know, I saw some things about, oh, well, you know, these guys are in prison you know, screw them, whatever, some of the more negative things. And, you know, where's it going to stop? I mean, if you're a true patriot, you stand up for the rights of every American citizen, whether they're incarcerated or not. And where is it going to stop? It starts here in the prisons. And, you know, where's it going to go? If you look at 1930s Germany, their experimentation, a lot of their stuff started in the prisons and internment camps. This was before cattle cars and all that stuff went down. And it's blatant human rights violations. And the reason I bring up, you know, Germany is because what's going on right now with this jab, these people being forced and coerced, it's a violation of the Nuremberg Code, which is something that came out of the atrocities that were performed by the Nazis. It was something put there in place to make sure that stuff like that never happened again. And, you know, human rights are being violated all in the name of, getting people this vaccine, getting numbers up and, you know, doing whatever it is they're doing.
That's right. I didn't know if you were going to mention it or not, but the producers put Nuremberg directly on the screen for this segment, because that's exactly what this is. And you're right. History, if not confronted, is bound to repeat itself, whether it's good or bad. Sean Ebright, Your bravery is extremely commendable. And I really want to thank you seriously from the bottom of my heart and from all of the patriots that view this program. And this isn't just an America issue. This isn't just a patriot issue here. This is a global issue. We are brothers and sisters globally. And every single government around the world is in a concerted effort to do this. It's insane. Final word.
Final word I have is for those of you watching the program, if you know about stuff going on like this within the prison systems in your state or within federal BOP or whatever, you know, do something about it. Speak out. You know, let people know what's going on. As far as the citizens in New Mexico, all right, you guys know you can get a hold of Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham via her email. Don't know if she'll answer or not. Also, you can get a hold of the New Mexico Corrections Department. You can speak directly to the Cabinet Secretary, Alicia Tafoya Lucero. Her contact information is listed on the website, which is cd.nm.us, which is the New Mexico Corrections Department website. If you have family members,
go ahead. If you have family members, go ahead.
Yeah. If you have family members that are incarcerated and you're concerned about this, you know, talk to them when they give you a call, ask them, because they'll tell you what they can. Some people are a little bit more leery than others to discuss some things over the phone because it's a correctional facility. So the phone calls are recorded, but, you know, check on your family members. And if you have concerns, like I said, get a hold of Governor Lujan Grisham or Alicia Tafoya Lucero.
I got to go. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Sean Ebright, a brave whistleblower, breaking anonymity and coming forward. The Marxist takeover continues in this country. And now the NFL is saying, hey, we're full-blown Marxist. You might say, well, I don't care. I stopped watching the NFL a long time ago. But Deanna Lorraine has a report that will show you that this does make a difference to you. Coming up next. Stay tuned. I am absolutely convinced that as time goes on, quickly, right now, in the future, that more brave men and women, more patriots like Sean Ebright will break anonymity, get rid of the blurred out faces, get rid of the altered voices, and they will come forward knowing that we have a republic to save and that she is worth fighting for. Our kids, their future is worth fighting for. Come out and fight with us. The truth shall always prevail, and it will always be entertained here. I will never censor truth or claims on this platform so long as you can back them with evidence and substance. If you want to step all over the globalists, the elitists, the globalist snakes that are trying to step on you, that are trying to steal your liberty, that are trying to crush out freedom, that are trying to shred the Constitution, you can do that. Nobody ever knew that a pair of socks or three could give you such a sense of satisfaction. A three-pack for just $17.76 at steponsocks.com. Hey, listen, you think I'm lying? Check it out. Look at that. See? There we go. I don't normally show off my socks or my jeans on this program, but I'm going to just to prove to you that I am stepping on these snakes all day long. That's right. Step on Socks, the legacy version, has Biden, Obama, the Clinton crime family, Pelosi, Gates, Fauci, all the people that are trying to crush out any freedom that we have remaining. You can step on them all day long by going to steponsocks.com right now. They are also diversifying other new editions. The Trader Joe is available, as well as Step on Fake News. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Get a three-pack for just $17.76. 76, and you might purchase a flag when you're there. You might purchase some silver when you're there. Step-On Socks is not only socks, but that is what got them started. Mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. Well, the NFL is gay. They are lesbian. They are queer. They are a complete representation of all of these alphabet people. And that might seem like, well, who cares? Who cares? That doesn't affect me at all. But you're wrong. Deanna Lorraine is here to opine on this and tell us why this is actually very concerning. By the way, she is the best-selling author of the book Taking Back America, which you can find at deannalorraine.com. She's also a Stu Peters Show contributor for a great reason. Very eloquently spoken, intelligent young lady she is. Go to deannalorraine.com and get her book. Deanna, a lot of people are going to say, who cares? I don't watch the NFL anyways. I stopped watching them when they were kneeling before Old Glory. You know, they have 24 hours in a day. They pick the 2 minutes when we are honoring the lost lives, brave men and women in our United States military, veterans, those that came before us, those that serve now, what the flag represents. They pick those 2 minutes to make their statement of awareness. When they have 23 hours and 58 minutes throughout the rest of their day to bring awareness however they so choose, but instead they punish all of the viewers. So many people say, well, how does this affect me?
Well, first of all, yeah, so the NFL just released an ad yesterday saying football is gay, football is lesbian, football is trans, football is queer, of course, rainbow flag, et cetera. So it's turned the NFL logo into a rainbow flag and then ended with football is everyone, which is really code word for football is everyone if you believe these exact same beliefs, these Marxist beliefs in critical race theory. And queer theory. If you don't believe it, then you're not allowed in this club anymore. But I don't know, Stu, I'm old enough to remember when football was actually just about football. And sports, you can just escape from the political world, escape from the news and everything going on in the world, turn on your TV and watch a sports game, watch people play ball. But those times are over and it affects everybody because they are, no matter what you believe, they're ramming it down your throat. Pardon the gay pun, but that's what they're doing. And every angle too, whether it's sports, whether it's the news, whether it's your children at school, the buses, it doesn't matter. They're ramming this down their throats and it's an agenda. It's an agenda to turn everything upside down. Good is evil and evil is good.
Until you said pardon the gay pun, I was just listening to you. But now every time you say ramming it down your throat, I thank you very much for this horrific visual. I don't know that I'll ever be able. I need to wash my brain out with soap or something. It's horrific. It's awful. It's disgusting. Thank you very much.
Right. You're welcome very much. And thank you. Thank the NFL, because that's what they're doing. I mean, they're in a way, they're violating people. And you can take that as a metaphor, too. But they're violating people. People just want to be home and they just want to watch a game. And they can't do it because they're being constantly punished and violated without their consent. With all of this gay and wokeness paraphernalia. And it's really, it's not going to stop anytime soon. They have ramped it up because they pumped millions of dollars, billions into critical race theory being put on our TVs, being put in our school. And then the gay agenda, the trans agenda. Now the NFL is dedicated to the Trevor Project, which is all about helping trans youth. And of course, trans youth transition into the opposite sex. Because why? Because they have a higher rate of suicide if they don't transition, is what they say. And we know that that's a myth. But it's dangerous because we can't grow up in a world now where we're isolated from anything. We are going to be having this pushed down us no matter what. And we have to be part of this club or we're ostracized or we're the bigot. We're the racist. We're the transphobe. We're the homophobe. Gone are the days of a peaceful pastime of watching sports or doing anything without this being shoved at us. And it's sad. It's sad for our future. It's sad for our children.
Yeah. And this reminds me of that Training Day scene where they're sitting down at the table and the question gets asked. Anyway, this has super major implications for so many people that they don't even realize. Do you know the NFL is responsible for sponsoring so many youth programs? This Play 60 deal. What is Play 60 now going to look like as your children are going to these camps throughout the end of the summer as they're getting ready for their tryouts or whatever level of football they're at? What is this NFL Play 60 camp going to look like now? And so the Marxists, they don't just want to push this agenda on you. They want to push this agenda on your kids. And that's what I mean by this having such significant implications for everybody, because they are after your kids. These people, although you might not care about them, your boys and some girls that are playing football or aspire to be a professional athlete of some sort, even if they don't like football, professional athletes as a whole have a platform that speaks directly into the young and impressionable minds and ears of your kids all day long, whether it's at school, whether they're showing videos of a professional athlete with some inspiring message, through some way, shape, or form, social media, large Instagram or Snapchat accounts. These people, these athletes are on a pedestal, whether you like it or not. They will be in your child's life. And if their organization, that billion-dollar entity, is directing them, if their master is telling them to obey, they are going to obey. Otherwise, they lose their contract. They no longer play in the NFL. These are thugs, for the most part, who have a less than adequate education, probably cheated their way through Division I college to play for whatever school they played for, or were drafted directly into the NFL as an 18-year-old kid, became instant millionaires. Do you think that they want to lose that? Of course they don't. So they will obey, and this message will be infiltrating the minds and ears of your children.
Right. And forget if you're a Christian, or if you happen to believe that marriage was supposed to be between a man and a woman, or that love is supposed to be between a man and a woman, forget that, because you're now on the outside. And now attraction, sexual attraction, and which way someone goes is being pushed in ours and our children's face. And on another note too, but a related note, just involving wokeness, and now this is critical race theory. This was trending yesterday on Twitter, and I thought it was insane. But there's this new thing out called code switching. So code switching means that basically a Black American would have to switch into different behaviors or different tones of voice in order to, what they say, fit in to the workplace. So they say they needed to become a different person. Code switching at home takes on emotional toll on Black professionals. And then they go on and they say that it's temporarily shifting their language, behavior, and appearance to conform to norms and credibility in the white-dominated workplace. But basically, this is just acting professional. This is acting professional. And Black people, apparently in America, don't want to change the way that they act or the way that they looked or their voice, which is what all white people do. Everybody does that in the workplace because that's called acting professional. Yeah. But not Black Americans. They say that this is a drain. It's exhausting. It's racist. And it makes them not want to go back to work.
So throwing on a suit and tie or a button up and a jacket, maybe a pocket scarf, for example. I don't dress like this when I'm not doing this program. Of course I don't. It's not comfortable. I don't go to the baseball game dressed like this. Of course I don't. It's not comfortable. It's hot outside. I don't want to. When I'm in my personal time, I don't dress up to go to work. I don't talk to people at the baseball park or field or at any social gathering or in any relaxed environment in a way that I would speak on this program, because here it's the expectation of millions that I have a professional delivery, that I use appropriate language, that I act in a certain manner that projects professionalism. If I was sitting here in a ball cap and a t-shirt, cussing and swearing and using provocative language, nobody would take me seriously, rendering this platform less effective. If you sell mortgages, if you sell gum, I don't care what you're doing, cell phones at the kiosk in the mall. If you come at me like that, I'm going to reject your presence because I don't want to buy anything from you. People expect a certain level of professionalism in any environment. That is natural. That is called the social norm. The English language is now racist. Soon, yeah, dressing up nicely will be racist. Going to church with a tie on will be racist. Professionalism is racist because ghetto people want to act ghetto anywhere you go, making the phrase, you can take the hood rat out of the hood, or whatever it is. Right. What is it again? You can take the hood out of the homeboy. I don't know. You can take the homeboy out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the homeboy. There it is.
Yeah, exactly. And you see these comments, there's storms of comments saying, yeah, I just revel in my Ebonics. I don't give a F. And yeah, no, don't change your Ebonics. Just go to work, whatever. Let it all hang out. And it's like, okay, if you want to revel in your Ebonics, great, but you're not going to be anywhere near customer service, and you're probably not going to be talking to people or being a sales rep.
You want to bet? I bet you they will. I bet you they will. And I bet you anybody that questions it or says anything about it is going to be banned for life, which brings me to my next point, Deanna. We're talking about the NFL. We're talking about Ebonics. We're talking about the Marxist takeover, and you will be ostracized if you don't just accept these things. I talked to a flight attendant from a major airline last night on the phone for about an hour in a very candid conversation. We're going to be getting documents from this person, internally leaked documents. We're also going to be having this person come through as a whistleblower because this is major, I mean, major implications. This person said that this particular airline reveled in the fact they celebrated how many passengers they banned for life for not wearing masks appropriately. This is the new norm. I mean, this cancel culture is so dangerous. You'll be canceled from that kiosk at the mall that I spoke of. You'll be canceled from buying gum at this place or buying anything, a mortgage from this particular mortgage company, if you don't accept the fact that the representative or spokesperson of the company that you're doing business with speaks like a ghetto hood rat.
Right. Well, and then there's a new stat that just came out that only 3% of Black Americans are willing to go back to work with the pandemic. Now that it's over, they have job offers, they have jobs, but only 3% of them are willing to go back to work. And they're blaming it on code switching, because code switching, having to act professional in a workplace, is so racist and just so exhausting for Black Americans. It's such a toll on them that they simply just can't fathom going back to the workplace again. It's just too toxic for them.
Well, I'm never going to give up my professionalism. Fuck that.
Exactly. And then who's going to be paying for their unemployment? Who's going to be paying for their welfare? Who's going to be paying for them when they're not employed, because nobody will employ them, or they don't want to be employed because of their little code switching and inherent racism? This is never going to end until we end the chaos, until we end the circus. And it's exactly what they want. This is critical race theory on steroids, and it's a downhill spiral. We need to stand up about it.
She joins us every day for Shots Fired. That is Deanna Lorraine. You can get her book, Taking Back America. Go to DeannaLorraine.com. Tomorrow is Friday. Is tomorrow Friday or is tomorrow Thursday? What is tomorrow?
Thursday.
Tomorrow's Thursday. All right. Well, then we will see you tomorrow right here on The Stu Peters Show. Thank you so much. The Stu Peters Show continues momentarily. Don't go anywhere. The Great Reset. The globalists are after your dreams of freedom and liberty. They will crush it by any means necessary. Some of the ways that we bring up on this program, the things that we talk about, is the way that they have manipulated the mainstream media. They shut everything down. They don't allow you to hear the truth, and they select who they're going to interview, what they're going to be allowed to say. That is communism. That is Marxism. That is, by all means, authoritarianism. That is what they wish for here. In order to accomplish that, they must force everybody to act the same way, do the same things. That is why genders don't differentiate anymore. We are all one. Races are divided like crazy, as whites are told to hate blacks and blacks are told to go to war with whites. And everything is the fault of who? Of you. You are a Trump-supporting patriot. You are a freedom-embracing American. You believe in the American dream. You work your butt off your whole career to set up your financial future so that you can then in turn leave something to your kids. And that is what not is normally talked about. The way that the globalists intend to crush you by manipulating the markets and by crushing your financial future, taking everything away from you. People know that if they take your freedom away from you, that's one thing. If they take your family away from you, you will fight. If they take your money away from you, you will fight. This is true. Market manipulation is something that the experts need to weigh in on, and that's why we bring in our in-house expert. He's an independent fiduciary, the CEO and founder of Cortez Wealth Management. Carlos Cortez joins us now. The S&P 500 doing very weird things. To this, you say what?
It's an all-time high once again. I mean, didn't we say all this when we had the market manipulation back in AMC and what was the other stock? AMC
GameStop.
And GameStop. Oh, my God. How can I forget that? But yeah, it's what they're going to do is real estate investment trusts were down during COVID 50%. So a lot of shopping centers don't own, like Publix, FedEx, you know, a lot of malls, they don't own that land. Investors do. And so this real estate investment trust movement is really taking over. You got BlackRock and Vanguard buying out housing development, so they can own the market.
Yeah, complete neighborhoods. They're buying them for cash.
Yeah.
Nobody questions that. Nobody wants to know, who are these people? Where are they from? Who are they connected
exactly.
to? Why doesn't anybody have an interest in that?
Just like Rolex. I mean, Rolex determines own price of their watch. It's really them. They they have a weird way of manipulating the secondary market. Once you buy a new Rolex, notice that the Rolex always keeps their value and they always increase. And there's a lot of tactics when it comes to stock market, when it comes to real estate investment trust that they can use to monopolize and control the pricing of everything. Very similar to a Fed, very similar to Fed. What do we do with the Fed? Well, the Fed, they keep printing money. Why do they keep on printing money? Because they know they can take it from you because you haven't researched Social Security. You haven't researched your IRA. You haven't researched how much you can make while you're on Social Security. They already know how they're going to tax the hell out of you. So they keep on printing money and they keep on taking money from you and from you. And you just say, oh, man, this sucks. Well, do something about it, damn it.
Well, learn. Is there something that can be done about it? Can people protect themselves against this?
Yes, okay. Yes. You got to stand up.
Answers for that.
Yes, you got to stand up, put your big boy pants on, look your advisor if you're working with one, and ask them, hey, what do you know about Social Security? Give me all the information. What are you doing about the IRS raiding my retirement accounts? Because I'm here to tell you, you are a participant. You are not an account owner. You took in the financial jab because they will take everything. They will take everything. If you're not proactive enough and you have to be, I mean, I don't know how you're not woken up. I mean, they literally can overtax you, double penalize you. It's nuts if you don't take action. The S&P 500 is another great way of, hey, if we manipulate stock market inside of a account that one day we will have, speaking from an IRS standpoint, let's continue to grow the stock market inside of a taxable account. So when you pull it out, they're getting a bigger cut of the pie.
They're flagging me down here that I got to go. Listen, if you are asking your financial advisor, as Carlos Cortez suggests that you do, chances are that person is not going to have an answer for you if they work for one of these big box financial firms. Why? Because they're manipulated by the gangsters on Wall Street, which is controlled by the Biden regime, which is owned by the CCP. Do business with an independent fiduciary. He sponsors this show for a reason because we trust him and we believe him.
Carlos and we Cortez, love you, Stu.
Thank you. Visit him at CortezWM.com. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's the any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it, maybe dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do do it because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. One day they're going to come to the car, and when they do, save the radio!